How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Everybody, oh, what's the matter for you?
Dirty spice to me the bar.
Hey, can I order a plate of spaghetti?
Gelato?
Is this offensive? I don't know.
No. Berlusconi?
You probably got some Italian in you.
A nice amello.
I don't know. My mess.
You want some?
I'm of European descent.
Sure.
You're a decent European. Some?
It's Italian month at NOTLP.
It is.
Ciao, baby. Calagugino.
Get your limoncello.
A bolognese sauce.
Get it super chilled. Get ready for some Argento.
I'm going to use my Luigi board and speaking of the dead.
Oh, Luigi board.
Coincidentally, Kelly's roulette movie this
really
week.
Really good, by the way.
I didn't make it. I wish I could claim.
Sorry, come back to Luigi board? For a second. Here I go. That was really good.
Kelly's got a movie about pizza this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about Phenomena, a movie about bugs.
By the way, if you have the Amazon Fire and you use the text thing to look your thing up and you say Phenomena, the answer it gives you back is do-do-do-do-do.
That's adorable.
But then you can't find it. Well, you have to like flip through other things, but it's cute, but I'm also
Alexa's
like...
worried about them jokes.
I'm like, can you please just give me the movie, though?
Yeah. Freddy fights with Siri on the Apple TV quite a bit.
Oh, she's a smart
to get
ass.
Things when he's searching, but... You know.
Did I ever tell you that it makes me uncomfortable when people like are jokingly mean to Siri?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You feel like you also feel like you have to be kind of polite?
Yeah. My ex and the boys would like jokingly say mean things to Siri.
Yeah.
I'd be like, don't say mean things to Siri. She's stop that.
She's just trying to help you. Plus, you're going on a list for when the robots uprise.
And then I was like, yeah. I mean, I know she's not real, but it's just don't do that.
Just don't.
So thank you, patrons, by the way, for making all this possible.
Thank you, and be nice to your robots.
Yeah,
be nicer to your robots. All ye demons, whether you be goblin, mammon, leviathan, or Beelzebub, we love you all.
You're special.
Like them come, big old mammons.
Those big old mammons.
This is the first of three Italian horror episodes. We haven't decided on a feature for next week. We'll keep that in our back pocket as a surprise.
Is it Trey? Is three for
pretty sure,
Italian?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I think so.
Or is
we
it
don't
trio?
Know.
Siri, where are you?
It's Trio.
It's Trio.
Trio.
It's
Trio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Ashtray. Like in Don't Be a Menace.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and then the final one we're going to wrap up with a Tale of Tales at the end of the month, chosen by Megan Yamada.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
He met some Italians.
The greatest tale ever told.
Is that the movie you watched on the plane? Tale of Tales?
I think I tried to,
yeah,
but something happened.
It was too much
one.
For a plane ride?
I think
ride.
It was maybe too much for a plane ride.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Remember that time I was on the plane, I started watching Joysticks,
yeah,
and then
all the
titties came
like,
out.
Like, Freddie, turn that off!
Yeah.
A question about that.
You can't have titties on a plane.
You can't.
Get these motherfucking
like what happens?
Titties.
So what happens if you're like you got your phone out and you're on Instagram or you're on something,
yeah,
and there's something inappropriate on your screen? Are you responsible if somebody sees what's on your screen? If a minor sees what's on your screen?
No,
I. Do we
think
have any lawyers out there?
People should not be looking at other people's screens.
Yeah.
Whether you be at a breakfast with friends and someone like leans over to see your text messages or,
but what
you
about,
know, for example.
Kids don't understand boundaries like that, though.
No, they don't.
No,
well, then fuck them.
Well, right. Like,
that's how they learn.
One incident, fuck them.
They get
but
burned.
Like, if you should probably try to kind of keep your, if you're going to look at things that where there might be, if a kid accidentally sees titties or boobies, titties are boobies, titties are butts. Once,
butts
well,
are boobies,
oops.
Balls are penises.
What about genitalia?
Vulvum.
Vulvum. Pinai.
I mean, you probably shouldn't.
The second time it's your fault.
Looking at that. Put it away. But sometimes that stuff does come up on your, I mean, sure. It can come up in the internet, yeah. Or you get things that just like, or somebody thinks something's funny and it's not appropriate. I was always wondering, I mean, I just don't really hear cases about that. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
What your responsibility is.
You may not look at hardcore pornography in a public space.
But like, I'm the same way with like at Freddy. Like if I'm on the plane, once I'm done playing my, I typically start with some video games and then I want to watch something. And if I'm watching something, I'm always really nervous. Like, if something nudity comes up, am I responsible for if I've exposed somebody to?
Right, because you're flying. You might be sandwiched between two, like a nun and like a priest,
or make a wish kid,
or make a wish kid. He's dying all over the place, and you're watching like a teen sex romp.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's like, "Thank you, sir. This was my wish.
This was my wish. This is my moment."
I love that movie. I actually had that happen. I did because I don't think about other people.
Sure.
So I was at a Weird Al concert. Well, I think about the people that I know and love.
Yes.
But I was at Weird Al, and Elise is sending me nudies. And I was looking at him, and then I was like, oh, there's kids above and behind me and all around me. That's
jokers to the left of you.
Whoops. It used to happen to me a lot at work, too.
Yeah.
People would come up behind me, and she'd be sending me, you know.
Yeah.
Brr.
I'd be like, can I help you?
I'd be like, I'm all good.
And they'll be like, oh, I see you're busy.
Well, and like what happens with me is if I put on a movie, people who know me, probably 15 minutes into the movie, I'm going to be asleep.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So, and I got my Haunted Mansion sleep mask on.
And you don't even realize what's
going on. I don't even realize that I've exposed.
You're just a bunch of Gaspar Noé clips.
Yeah.
What you should do is
the lesson is teach your children not to look at other people's screens. And don't you look at other people's screens.
Teach your children well.
But if we could all just be like Andy, who immediately falls asleep on a plane, which is a skill I wish I had.
Me too.
Yeah. But with his mouth wide open, which is also
with interesting. With mouth wide open.
Harmony
without even knowing about it.
Beautiful.
Because all he does is he blinks and he's in Disney. Yeah. How does he do that?
He used to do that on the long car rides too.
Yeah, just
and he drove, which is crazy. I feel extra crunchy over here. Am I sounding okay on it?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a...
some crunch.
Some crunch roll.
Got some crunch.
Static. But I don't know.
It could just be distance to your microphone, maybe.
I had some crunchy Richie's fried chicken last night. It was so good.
What did you have?
Richie's fried chicken.
Oh.
We had
the very best
Filipino food last night.
Ooh, and it was good.
It was real good. Christine, you did a great job.
She did a great job.
It's in an old Pizza Hut. It's it's in Greentown, Ohio, in an old Pizza Hut, Cincinnati's hottest new Filipino restaurant. Christine's.
Where is it?
It's over at Harrison and Dent.
It's really good. They had spicy onion rings and Filipino egg rolls, and they had like Filipino barbecue, which is like pork on a stick. And
it sounds real good.
It was tasty.
I'll have to check it out.
It was really good.
Definitely check it out.
I think we will.
And the egg rolls were.
And the owner is really hands on. Like she was out serving tables and everything.
So. We were like, "Are you Christine?"
She's like, "I am."
Which I thought was an awkward moment for a second, but it was kind of funny, too.
It was fun.
I was like, why do you got to ask her? Can't she just live her life?
There was human traffic cones. Adobo with nowhere else to go.
Do we want to talk about our fun thing we did last night?
Yeah, we did Lights Out at the Dent Schoolhouse.
First time, right?
Yeah.
Lights out and hands-on.
And we did the touch pass.
Lights out, hands-on.
And I had always wanted to do this, and we finally did it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, find your joy, man.
Find your joy.
See
find
that
joy.
Cut on my hand?
Yeah.
That's from being manhandled.
Oof, I love a Lights Out hands-on.
They throw your ass around.
They do.
They grab you. They touched my hair so much.
It's fun, though. It's not like... If you get brutalized, it's only on accident.
Yeah, like they threw me at a wall. They're not trying to hurt you,
but they certainly are trying to. I was terrified, but I loved it. I transcended just my normal fun.
You and Andy, there were dogs in the neighborhoods around the Dent Schoolhouse.
The screaming.
And I heard you guys.
Yeah. Mike had a quake in his back at one point. And I was like, whoa. I want that.
They picked Andy up against a wall, like pushed him up the wall.
Yeah.
Stuffed his head in a toilet.
Oh.
I had to go fishing in a toilet.
There's a big fella in the shower scene, and that's one of the ones who picked Andy up. But then they also, like, I'm big. I'm like 280 pounds, and they grabbed me and manhandled me, and they had put my arms up over my head. And Mike, they did the same thing to Mike, but the guy was like, do you want to blow bubbles? And then he leaned in, he's like, I'm bubbles.
Yeah. But
were you like just no death by Ooga Booga?
Yeah, well, I was worried the shower heads were on.
Yeah, they were running.
When they whipped us over, it was a little wet in there, but I thought he was going to put me under like a full-on shower head.
Oh, I would have murdered somebody.
That would have been startling because it was cold.
It was cold. But they did the thing that I was always like, my biggest fear in haunted houses is being pulled away from the group and having to go do anything solo. And like about three times.
Yeah.
But that shower scene when we were like leaving, they came and got me from the group and pulled me back in there. And then it was a intense moment.
Oh, there was a great moment where I got separated for a really long time. I got way ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And all you have, all the lights are out except for you. They give you, when you're in the touch version, they give you a red glow stick.
Okay. Cause I want to ask about this after you tell me what's about to happen.
Well, you can only see, imagine what a red glow stick would light up around you, which is very little.
There is some ambient lighting too, because they don't want you to hurt yourself.
Right. There's enough where you can kind of see where you're stepping.
Yeah.
And I'm in, there's a scene in the Dent Schoolhouse where you have this hallway of lockers. And they are like kind of rattling open and closed. They're like ghostly things slaying. And they're like hitting me a little bit. They're bouncing in my back. And I'm looking for these guys because I, like I said, I got way out ahead of them. So I'm in this hallway for at least like five solid minutes alone, which is weird because usually
there's actors.
There's actors.
Or scare technicians.
Or there'll be another group that catches up with you. And no one's there. I'm all by myself. And at the very end of this hallway,
wouldn't have been fucked up if Freddy Krueger like stepped out at the end, like, "This is not a fake thing. I'm Freddy Krueger.
This is not a fake thing." At the end of the hallway, they're working their way still through this area, like of this dead body pit, basically is what it is. You have to wade your way through, and then I'm in this hallway all by myself with this glow stick. And at the end of the hallway, there's just this shape. And it's in a seated position, and then all of a sudden, it I've been standing in this hallway for a long time, just, and I'm looking at it for a while, and I'm like, is that an actor down there? And it just slowly stood up.
Oh, that's a great effect.
And it didn't move after that, it just stood up. And I'm like, this is really eerie, and I was loving it, because it was so extra, because I was all alone. And then when they caught up with me, we went to the end of the hallway, and it did a second movement where it, like, lunged out. I guess it had a sensor or something. It was like an animatronic.
Oh, it wasn't a person?
No, but it looked like usually you can hear the animatronics working.
Yeah.
But because I guess the way the lockers made a certain amount of noise, it seemed silently to stand up.
That's pretty awesome.
It was real weird.
Those weird little touches sometimes are the things that make haunts for me.
Yeah.
Where like something doesn't even necessarily come at you. It's just like a weird little detail like that.
Yeah.
So with just the glow stick, the thing that I also worry about with not just finding, you know, my way, like, safety-wise, but, like, do you miss a lot of what's coming at you? Like, I mean, I feel like I wouldn't see very well, like, the characters or what they're supposed to be. Oh,
they'll come out of nowhere. Well, they'll just grab you. All of a sudden, you'll be walking along in the dark.
We got pills buried in a dark area.
Yeah, right in the belly.
All of a sudden, somebody's just poking you in the belly.
But you don't see what they look like.
No. Sometimes you don't see them at all. You just feel them grabbing.
Yeah, they do a lot of, like, leg grabbing.
They pulled my neck. The neck of my shirt a lot.
Yeah.
And drag me around.
Andy got extra special attention from the guy, man in the door. I think they're...
This is the second encounter those two have had with each other this season.
He remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah, he remembered Andy. Yeah. I think they're masterful. I really do. Like, we had... I don't know if they did it intentionally or you guys were kind of figuring it out, but, like, Andy and I were... But usually Andy's kind of the mark because he just is. He's loud and he's fun and whatnot. But like I kind of lost my mind right at the very beginning.
You were such a mess.
I was a mess because they really separated us. And again, the whole time I had done the Mansfield prison with the touch option. I was really terrified the whole time someone was going to grab me and pull me into a cell away from the group. That was I'm not ready for that. Right at the very beginning. We all got separated and disoriented. And then, like, the order we had decided, our marching orders would be Andy,
you,
me, and then you two.
And then Freddy in the
end. But Andy and I were screaming so much. Like, by the end of it, you guys had gotten to the front, which I think was much better because they didn't necessarily... You're not going to get the same reaction on you two as you were going to get with Andy or I at the point when I lost my mind. Although
my throat hurts from screaming.
Oh, my gosh. Andy actually went into dry heaves at the end.
Yeah, he was going to throw up.
He was in rough shape.
He lost air.
It was like...
screaming.
It looked like he'd gotten off like a roller coaster, like an intense roller coaster at the end.
Well, I can't wait for my foot to be healed up.
Yes, we're doing that next year.
Fun.
Yeah.
Start training. As soon as your foot's healed, start training for it.
You could train with a Christmas experience.
Yeah, we're going to do the Christmas
one. You got a month.
If you're going to do it, they're going to decorate the dent for the holidays.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, there was a moment where a guy, not on purpose, I'm sure, but like a guy grabbed me and slammed me into a wall head first. Yeah. And I was like,
well, cause they can't see either.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I don't know how much they could see, but it was actually kind of funny. Right. But then I was like, imagine if I went into that like full bore and just was knocked unconscious or something, and they had to like bring somebody out of there.
Yeah. The I would recommend, I think the Lights Out experience is great for anybody who's already done the Dent Schoolhouse, but there's so much attention to detail.
Yeah,
and what you're
it,
saying, Kelly, is correct. You're going to miss one of the scariest rooms in there. I didn't even realize we were in there until the person's face was like right in front of my face, and I saw, oh, this is, I am in this specific room now. But I didn't know that because... So I think you would want to go through the dent.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know you've been through it before, but I definitely think it's... worth to see the details with the lights on.
And they do an actual full lights on tour too.
Yeah. Where it's not like a scare. Like
right. It's more through. Just to go through and see the art of it. But that's the thing. The great thing about Dent in particular is, I guess, replay value. And now I realize, cause I was kind of like, oh, we're going to go do Lights Out. My favorite part is looking at everything.
Yeah. That's why I was asking. I love the makeup and the way the rooms are decorated, all the production design.
I'll tell you, like, the Lights Out, it was so much fun.
It really was.
Especially with the touch involved. I think that it was really fun. I felt like a kid again. Like, having somebody manhandle you when you're a big guy is like a rare experience.
Yeah for sure. I think the touch for me would be the part that made it. Because I was, before I knew that was an option, they talked about the Lights Out for the last 3 or 4 years. And I was I don't know that would like be so effective to me. But I think with the touch, it sure would be.
It's fun.
Yeah. It is.
And then the glow sticks, you can still appreciate some of the art. If you're careful to hold your glow stick up and really look at things as you go along, if you're not too scared and are looking just for the scares, you can still enjoy everything.
Well, and that's where I got hit, because my thing was, I was so worried that what I was going to be finding was going to be something that was in my face. So you kind of get, you get in the zone. So your mind will do different things with you in the dark than it does in the light, which is fun. It's fun to see that about yourself too.
There's a great scene with like the hanging jack-o'-lantern human heads where in the Lights Out version, I walked up to one with a glow stick.
Oh, I thought it was a person.
And it looked like it was, I thought it was a person. It was like a great reveal in a horror movie where my glow stick kind of touched a little bit and then it started swinging. And then I realized it was a severed head. Yeah. I thought it was an actor. And I was like, oh, that was one thing where that effect worked better in the Lights Out than it did.
Yeah.
So that was just a really cool, it's definitely absolutely 100% worth doing.
Yeah.
But you have to wait till next year now.
Mm-hmm. All the normies in my life want it to be Christmas time, which I don't mind. I like Christmas time, but I needed one more spooky weekend.
Yeah.
And so now we're allowed to switch over.
Spooktober's over.
Yeah.
It's time to get that turkey ready.
3 weeks away.
We were hanging out with the turkey last night. Weeks. Turkey Lurkey Mikey over here. The noises you make.
You do the turkey scream sometimes.
Anyway.
Yeah, I lost my mind for a little bit, but it was fun. I was having a good time. Even losing my mind, I was definitely having a good time.
I would love to go through one of those haunts with Elsa.
With the dog?
Mm-hmm.
No, she'd be traumatized horribly.
Or she'd attack.
She just wouldn't care. She just wouldn't be everybody's friend.
Yeah.
She might attack. If mommy's screaming, I would hope she would attack.
I could see her going into that puppy stance, you know, where she'd dive down with the butt in the air and the paws on the floor. Yeah, that's what I imagine.
You downward dog.
We took them through a...
paws down, tilling the air, doing that doggy dance.
This is how we like
it. We took them through the Holiday Inn Lights, which is a drive-through where it's...
In Sharonville?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that last year.
Yeah.
We should all do it together.
Yeah, we had the dogs in the back seat. And I think they were a little freaked out by it, to be honest.
Yeah, they were a little overwhelmed. Blinking lights. Yeah.
They were like, what the fuck?
I'm like, isn't this all just black and white to you guys?
You dumb dogs.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know what I started doing?
What's that?
I'm finally, for the first time since 1990, revisiting Twin Peaks.
Ooh. Oh,
we
loving it.
It's great, right?
How far are you in?
Just 3 episodes in, maybe 3 or 4.
Did when it originally aired, did you watch all of them or did you quit after the first season?
Quit after the first. Well, I think I think I caught bits and pieces. And here's the thing: I was a kid. I didn't get it. I got like, it's basically like I'm watching it for the first time. I was in love with Audrey Horne. Like, she was, I told Elise last night, she was almost too hot.
You know,
at the time. Like, I almost couldn't stand it.
Matt Shinamick.
Which one is she?
She was the waitress.
Oh, Matt Shelley.
Oh, yes.
Is it Shelley?
Shelley.
Yeah, she was my favorite.
I could see that, Kelly. That's, you definitely have a type there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sherilyn Fenn at the time. Woo, buddy.
But hey.
So, but it's great. It's one of Lisa's favorite shows. I'm not sure if it's her very favorite, but it's I think at the top. She actually dressed up as Laura Palmer in the plastic for Halloween.
I remember that. Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's that picture on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. But
before I knew Elise, and I was like, one of her friends died.
What?
She posted a picture on her as her profile.
Somebody put her dead body on.
But I'm really loving it. I was when Brandon was here earlier, I wanted to bring up because we watched a thing before we put on the show about Angela Battlemente was talking about Laura Palmer's theme and how he wrote it.
Oh yeah.
And he was playing it and describing what David Lynch was saying to him the first time, as he just basically had him improv it, and about talking about Laura Palmer walking through the woods. It was like really haunting listening to him tell the story and play
super
her
soothing
theme.
Though
yeah mm-hmm. It's, have you seen that little feature yet?
No.
Yeah, you should look it up, because it's like really like that, him just telling that is haunting. Yeah. As he's playing it, it's really good. But anyway, I'm enjoying the show.
I love how normal David Lynch is as a person.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his quinoa video?
No.
Watch him make quinoa.
Yeah.
He tells a great story. He feels like just like somebody's like uncle.
Yeah.
Like he is so normal. It's like it's just like really sitting down with one of your buddies trying to tell you how to make quinoa.
You know, he's the bartender on Family Guy, right?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he runs the clam.
That's all
he used to. I don't know if he still does it.
When I was in high school, I worked in a music store, and I remember my music store supervisor was like, "You gotta buy the Twin Peaks soundtrack, because when girls hear it, they go what?"
I mean, I like the music quite a bit, but
yeah,
did it make you feel like I'm wild?
Amy gave up on Twin Peaks. We tried
after the reveal of
who the killer was.
Don't tell her anything, because I don't remember.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like, well, I'm done, because I'm just a person that needs a little bit more straightforwardness.
It gets so scary though with some of the moments with Bob and stuff. Like, I think it's actually like a pretty terrifying, especially when I was a kid, that scared the shit out of me.
I really loved the first season though.
And I remember like the first season, the same thing happened with you, Amy, that happened with like my mom and dad. Like, we watched the first season and then they're like, okay, they solved it. And then we started the second season, and I was the only person who gave a shit, like, because they're all like, what is going on? Like, why are they, why do they even make the second season?
Hmm.
And I'm like, because it's weird, and it's so great. Yeah, and weird.
I haven't watched second season.
My parents tried to, like, they didn't make it to the end of the first season because we didn't watch it together.
Yeah.
My mom, again, she just watched for the music. She loved the music. I think she even went out and bought either the single. Just the theme.
Sorry about that wild story then.
My mom wild.
Your dad shot A and your mom and Twin Peaks.
And and so they watched like four episodes and just couldn't get into it.
Hmm. Yeah.
But
I'd been wanting to go back and rewatch that, because I remember as a kid, but not getting anything.
Yeah,
and
so that's what I did. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I liked it for like why it was great.
I got obsessed with trying to figure out like what the White Lodge was.
The Black Lodge? Oh, the White Lodge.
Both. Like just the whole concept of the lodges and everything. Yeah. Like, it was like, because then there wasn't internet, wasn't like we didn't have a computer or anything back then. I don't even think internet was like a huge thing then.
When it came out?
When original Twin Peaks came out,
it didn't exist.
Remember. Yeah, I was about to say, I don't remember having like any access to anything other than like you'd have to really dig around to find anything out, and it felt like a real mythology. It felt like a real mystery.
Yeah.
Because you're like 13 maybe, something like that, when I was out, and you're like, oh my god. And that's when I started like finding all that Aleister Crowley stuff and everything. So it sent me like into a really weird trivia spiral when you really had to dig to find trivia.
Yeah, it's really great. And what I also realized too is you really can tell the difference between the episodes directed by David Lynch and the episodes directed by somebody else.
Yeah.
I found that out, like, because I think the second episode is one of the other, you know, show directors. And it's still a great episode, and the characters are still quirky, but it feels very much more like just a normal show. And then immediately, episode three, David Lynch is back, and you're like, this is immediately a different thing again. Like, yeah. It's really interesting.
Do you know where Fire Walk With Me plays into that? Is that supposed to be before?
It's a little both, isn't it?
It's a little. Mentioned, well, because I mean, she mentioned that phrase comes up over and over again.
Yeah. Okay.
Because in the movie, you get what happened to Laura. There's a lot more Laura Palmer in the movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the new season.
I have no idea. And I haven't seen Firewalk.
Yeah. And I heard it.
Oh, you haven't?
No, not at all.
Oh, it's a good movie.
We wanted to go through this basically so I could then watch Firewalk.
I want to say, what's his name? He's a singer. He did Wicked Game.
Oh, Chris Isaac.
Chris Isaac is in it, and he's surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. It's a really good movie.
Well, Mulholland Drive, that was supposed to be a television series too. And I feel like a lot of those pieces, when you watch Twin Peaks, you feel like that you're seeing a little bit of that, and especially in the detective drama that's going on in that movie.
Yeah, we were talking about that too, because I didn't know that, and I was saying how he's so interesting because this is such a kind of linear thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's amazing how like it can just be like you can just watch it
until you get to season two.
Yeah, and then Elise had said like, well, yeah, Mulholland Drive. Drive, right? Yeah. Not Falls.
Yeah.
I do this every single time. Me too. Yeah. Was supposed to be a show and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It's fun.
November.
Twin Peaks, November.
I threw a real linchpin into that.
Oh! Duh. How the Lynch stole November? Christmas?
You did it!
Duh.
Sort of.
Starring Jane Lynch.
So. Oh.
This is silly. What
so,
now?
So some of our listeners might be doing NaNoWriMo. It's NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
And that stands for what?
National Novel Writing Month.
There you go.
I'm not doing NaNoWriMo, but I am working on something. And so for the month of November, I'm trying to keep the 1,000 words a day pace. And I've actually done it.
Yeah, buddy.
Not this week. Over the first couple days, I'm doing good. So, but good luck to you, NaNoWrimes.
Mike heard my stomach go burr.
I thought there was something.
It did not come out of my butt. From the beyond. I would tell you.
Don't you always worry that people are going to think you're farting when your stomach's just like,
blah. Is this different than the, what was the thing you were really into? This before I was on the show, but I remember being intrigued by the 1 minute. Or the 100 character.
Oh, flash fiction?
Flash fiction. This is different.
Flash fiction is just like 500 or 1,000 usually word stories. And you just like, it's just a real quick bite. You try and get as much told as you can with, you know, you have to really pick your words carefully.
Yeah.
Flash fiction I love.
Okay. But this is different.
This is different. This is, just try, like, you're supposed to write, I think it's like a 30 or 20,000 word novel is like the, because you can win. Like, it's a bit more about supporting each other. Like, you can officially join NaNoWriMo. You put your pages up on NaNoWriMo as you write them. You can get feedback, I think, if you want. You can help, you can give feedback. And then at the end, everyone submits what, you know, if you've completed your novel, everyone submits them and they choose a winner, and I think there's money and maybe I guess they publish it, maybe. Some novels that have been done in NaNoWriMo have gone on to become, you know, published. I don't know about bestsellers, but like
it's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
It's like when you're collaborating with family on a nice gravy and you're like you gotta put a little oregano in there, you gotta cut the garlic real thin, and then you gotta make sure that the pasta is al dente for everybody.
Hey, gotta get the basil.
You make sure the meatballs are spicy and big.
Spicy meatball.
You gotta roll them up and you gotta throw them on top of the spaghetti.
And you got a nice parmesan.
On the floor.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want a nice spaghetti.
Have you introduced us?
Pasta lasagna. You get any on ya? Yeah, Mark Maron.
All right.
Okay, Baron. Can you go around and tell everybody who we are?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't introduce
our names.
Everybody knows. I'm Freddie. That's Amy. Mikey B is here.
I'm Mikey B.
And Kelly. And we're going to get into Russian roulette with Kelly's slice movie here momentarily. Anything else you guys want to add to this spaghetti sauce?
I did just finish
sauce?
My tarot card class, my 8-week tarot card class.
So for $7 million, Michael.
Yeah?
I will I'll read you to filth.
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it's all about. I'm sorry that I channeled
unless
that in the wrong way.
Unless you got some filth in your life.
No. It's all about good stuff, all about wellness and all that great stuff. But yeah, I finished that. I'm kind
of
proud of myself.
You should be proud of yourself,
proud of you, baby.
Knocking that out. So
good job.
Another little wellness tool to add to the arsenal. So for what it's worth,
yeah. Does it worry you playing with all those dark forces?
You know what? It's so
you got your tarot cards, you got your Luigi board.
That question probably wasn't meant for a small tangent. I'm going to go down for a second, but like having a Judeo-Christian background, mm-hmm. having gone through some seminary training myself, there's a lot of healing around like the religion pieces, because I remember like my grandpa finding like my Ouija board and like having to like go burn it and all that stuff.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
And the Parker brothers are pretty upset.
Yeah. And my grandpa's passed now, but he was a good man and all that. And us always equating like stuff that was of a spiritual net, like spiritual, but not of a Christian. It's not Christian.
Yeah.
Background like as being evil and like.
J-Dub's called it demonized. Everything was demonized.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting in the tarot. I had like kind of a moment in my own journey. The tarot, there's a devil card. And like you always think like, oh, that's like that's the worst. You don't want to get the devil card. And like the whole idea of the devil card isn't necessarily like the devil is evil. It's like what you and your mind believe is a limitation is what's evil. It's like you like something makes you happy and like you connect it to the story of why I shouldn't feel good about that being happy for me. And I really realized like personally like, oh my gosh, like so many of my things that like bring me joy, like I go, oh, that wouldn't be like, oh my, I drank too much, but I had a whole bunch of fun, but you're not supposed to do that, or you're not supposed to do that. All these little stories in my mind of like what I'm not supposed to do. And like in through this class, just like opening myself up to maybe there's like a bigger, you know, whatever you want to believe. I don't care. It's whatever.
I eat skin and I'm not going to feel bad about it.
Yeah. Don't feel bad about it.
Sweet, sweet baby skin.
Sweet, sweet baby skin. But like that idea of just like, you know, what's right for you, just gotta be right for you. Yeah. And so it's interesting. Like, you know, people think that like, oh, you're playing with these dark forces or whatnot. And it's not really, it's not about that. It's just about being like with what's right now and what's making you happy right now. And it's bringing me a lot of joy and maybe doing some healing on stuff that, you know, I had to leave behind. So
happiness and joy is what it's all about, man.
It's all about how life is way too short. Yeah.
Happy, joy.
Take that it is way this seriously.
Also my philosophy. Happiness is what's the point.
It really is.
I'm going to give you this. I get you into this Jetta, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you get it demonized at no cost. That's a $500 value.
Yeah.
Demonized. No cost.
Mm. Is the interior Jetta. Baby skin?
It is pure. Oh. Well, with this model right here, that's a badge of skin. But we can get you baby skin. It's an upgrade. It will add to your monthly.
Well, payment. I was actually hoping for Italian leather baby skin.
Oh, that's Volkswagen Argento.
Oh, that's a spicy baby skin.
Manja, gabagoo.
He's like a mamma with some egg. It's crispy on the outside. It's full of mahjong.
Mahjong.
It's gravy.
It's full of mahjong.
It's full of mahjong.
I enjoy Kelly's Volkswagen Argento.
Awesome. It only comes in a red.
Is it a deep red?
He said, you get it in a deep red.
So I will add with that.
Yep.
If anybody wants Mikey's, whatever we were calling that, higher love, if anybody wants me to throw in a little read for him,
yeah.
I'd be willing to do that. Just to email me, MikeyB@notop.com.
Mikey B, higher love and the darkest forces.
The deepest library dork, is open.
Dorkest.
The library's open, y'all.
Luigi forces.
Luigi board. That's my favorite. Still my favorite.
Yeah.
Hold on that for a while.
All right. Well, we'll be back then. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Okay, Kelly started a story during the break that seems to be related to this week's roulette selection.
Can you provide me some pizza music? Whatever the most pizza-y music you have.
You know what?
It's fine. Just play it.
Okay.
All right.
I'd rather it through the mic.
Do you want like this dramatic
song? No, I want what you have.
Pizza?
Yeah, that's what I want.
So down a little bit. It might be a little too loud. There we go.
So we have a pizza joint here in town, NYPD. It's actually owned by a sort of friend of mine, and I really like their pizza. So one day, 11:30 in the morning, I ordered a pizza online on their online ordering service. It's the way I prefer to do things if I can. I don't have to talk to anybody. But they so shortly, not too much longer, a fella shows up. NYPD pizza. It is NYPD pizza as I know and understand it. It's in an NYPD pizza box. Mm-hmm. The guy is a little weird. He's kind of got this like, so you wanted a pizza at 11:30, huh? All right. I'll bring it to you. I brought you a pizza. He's just grinning at me weirdly. But I take the pizza. I eat the pizza. It's delicious. I don't have diarrhea or anything weird. And then later that week, I'm like, I'm going to do this again for lunch. And but I go on their website for some reason. It won't let me order. And I realize they don't open until 3:00 in the afternoon.
What?
And I'm like, well, maybe it just says that on Google or something. So like I call and like the phone service won't even answer. It's just like, we don't open until 3:00. So if you can just wait, we'll get you an order after 3:00. And I have no idea what happened. Was that guy just in there and he saw my order come in? He's like, I guess I'll make his pizza.
Pizza Ghost?
This song is Pizza by Martin Garrix. It's a single. I don't know why it's called Pizza.
So you got Ghost Pizza.
It feels like I did, but it was, and I still have the box. That's what made me think of it this morning.
Were they both weekdays?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm.
It's weird, right?
Are there animatronics in that pizza place?
He did have big floppy ears and a dog nose.
Okay, there it is.
So, Kelly, tell us about Slice.
That pizza has been dead for years.
Formerly of the Rock Fire Explosion.
R.I.P.
Okay. Slice is a movie.
Yes.
And I liked it. I loved it, in fact. This was a fun movie. This is a big recommend. I guess I'm going to say I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm not even sure how you spoil this movie, really, because it's just so kind of goofy and all over the place. So the premise is actually really kind of fun and interesting. It's set up in this town, and everything, what I really loved about it, and some people are going to, I think, have a problem because it does have like that kind of neo-80s vibe going on that everybody says they're getting sick of. I'll never get sick of it. You can throw a synth score over anything, and it's going to improve it for me. Throw like lots of weird neon colors. I'm into it. I'm never tired of it. Okay. So all you jokers out there.
So if Donald Trump's next rally had some synth music and neon colors, you're like, I'm on the Trump train.
I'm not going to support him, but I might acknowledge that his video was pretty cool.
All right.
But I'm still not listening to that ideology.
Okay.
But like whoever he got had a way with visuals. and sound. But so it starts off and it's played completely straight, which I also love. Like everybody, I mean, there's a few over the top performances, but everybody's playing as if they're, you know, in a straight up movie. But this is definitely a comedy. It feels to me like an American, I don't know who directed it. I didn't pay any attention.
Oh, it's that's Austin Veasley. This is his first feature. He directed videos for Chance the Rapper.
Oh, well, it feels like he's doing like Edgar Wright doing Big Trouble in Little China. That is what this movie feels like to me.
That is a fantastic.
Yeah, it's really it is. And so the world they set up is you've got this town, what was the town called? I don't remember. But and then it's full of ghosts. Like there's people and then there's ghosts. And they live side by side, but then they push all the ghosts into Ghost Town. Like, it's like a, you know, it's a commentary.
Ghost ghetto?
It's a ghost ghetto, yes, and crimes occur there, and there are people who don't like ghosts, and there are political parties against ghosts and for ghosts, and there's also werewolves in this world.
Ah.
Okay.
And demons, although I don't think too many demons or witches, but it's a world where, like, everybody just, it's just a part of everyday life. And so what's happening, though, is these pizza boys and girls are delivering pizzas to Ghost Town and getting their throats cut. And it's like this terrible thing that's
happened.
You mean
sliced.
That is what I mean. Yes.
Okay.
Sliced.
They're getting their throat sliced.
They're getting their throat sliced. Yes. That's what I mean. Is it hitting you now, the title of the movie? Yes. That's why it's called that.
Dawning
on you.
I'm just trying to be weird and lynchy. This movie was made in Illinois, so I got to know, is it deep dish pizza?
Oh. Deep dish pizza! No, I don't think so. It's just in a regular old box.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
you never see an actual naked pizza in this?
No naked pizza.
Just boxes.
Just beer pizza. Yeah, you might see some naked pizza, but not deep dish. Anyway, so these crimes mirror a crime from several years before, where the delivery people for yummy Chinese restaurant, their drivers were being murdered by a local werewolf who just took off. He was run out of town, but he has now showed up back in town. However, the little pizza boy who gets murdered at the beginning, his girlfriend, they all work for this place called Perfect Pizza, the manager of which is Paul Scheer, and they have a crew. There's like a ghost on their crew, and he's really great. And everything he says is this is the reckoning for what we've done, and they're all just like, shut up.
Are the ghosts wearing like white sheets? Like
some of them. Well, no one are wearing white sheets, but they just look. They've got ghost makeup, and some of them are wearing like robes or white. It's really.
I can't wait to watch this.
It's really cute and clever. I think everybody in here will really like this movie. And then it becomes a mystery. And so, like, the first pizza boy's girlfriend is like this badass girl who used to work for the pizza place, and she comes back to the pizza place to like solve his murder, and she's like super hardcore and badass. The thing is, now that you told me that he directed videos for Chance the Rapper, I kind of get there is some like the story is great. Listen, I love it. I don't have any complaints about this. But if they were like, Kelly, please be honest with us and tell us what we could have done to improve it, if anything, I would say, well, it was great. I loved it. But what you could have done, the story could have been tightened a little bit.
They're like, we have new crust, new sauce.
Yeah.
We've really improved our movie.
Dominoes it up a little bit. Yeah. Because there are some places where the story could have been like, just screwed in a little tighter. You could have, like, it. Sometimes it did feel a little all over the place, but I didn't care because all the characters are so fun to watch and everybody, the story was there. It was a little hairy. Mm-hmm.
That's bad when you're ordering pizza.
Yeah. You try not to order that.
Not a hairy pie.
No.
Nobody wants that.
Not this day and age.
Deep dish or thin. Hair's a no go.
It's a non-starter.
Okay.
It goes through and everybody's kind of zany. It's very groovy, great soundtrack. I think it's Chance the Rapper playing the werewolf.
Do you not know Chance the Rapper when you see his face?
He's adorable.
Yeah, that's him. He's the werewolf.
I love him. Yeah.
And he's great in this. Like, his character is really charming and fun and different than what you expect. And it's just a really fun movie. Go watch Slice. Unless you're one of those complainy people who, like, need it. Like, you're like, well, it was just a... Like, it's just fun.
So it's a horror comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. But, like, it's not... And it is... It's goofy, but it's not... I'm not going to say that it's up to, it's definitely not Shaun of the Dead level good, but like it's in the vein where you feel like it's not a parody. I actually hate, and I've said this multiple times on the show, I hate when people call Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz spoofs or parodies of those genres. They are not. This is kind of like that. It's not a parody. It's not Airplane with ghosts. It's not a scary movie. Yeah, it's definitely not a scary movie. It's like an alternate universe, and it's got a lot of humor, and it's goofy, but I just recommend it.
Awesome.
It's groovy. It's definitely my kind of movie.
I'm so happy when somebody likes their movie.
Yeah, I'm always excited because this time it's like a switcheroo.
You never trust me.
Because I like the I've liked actually you a lot of the last few.
You shouldn't trust me.
Now that you have a history, though. Amy.
I know.
I've done bad things to all of us.
I'm well aware.
You have done
of
some
the bad
things
I've done.
But I will say a lot of my recent Russian roulettes I've enjoyed.
See,
but I did not enjoy the feature. So
keep you on your toes. Well,
yeah.
I'll be right there with you on that. All right, let's shoot some people. I've only got three people to shoot because Mikey B won't be here next week and Kelly's out.
Shoot all over him.
So I'm up first. I got this movie gun, movie bullet. I live Freddy.
See them stains?
You live Andy. You're not even here.
Boom. His movie head just exploded all over his movie pillow.
Yeah.
Wherever he is.
That's disgusting.
In movie bed, probably.
On Netflix, it's a movie called Kuntilanak.
Already say excited.
Say again.
Kuntilanak. Kuntilanak. I don't know. It's foreign. Five youngsters discover that an antique mirror found in their orphanage is home to an evil ghost who kidnaps children and imprisons them inside it.
Oh, this looks good. Actually, I know what you're talking about.
I wrote a Call of Cthulhu adventure that is very similar to this. Took place in a orphanage, and kids were taken and put in an alternate dimension by a demon that lived there.
Well, hopefully Andy likes it. His love for Oculus and its mirror. Oh. Is well documented.
Do you think this person was watching me run that game?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, for sure.
So Andy will be watching Cuntlick for Straight to Video Russian Roulette next episode.
Yes, Freddy. You said it correctly. No complaints here.
Should be a dialect coach.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
This week's main attraction from 1985, Dario Argento's Phenomena. 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 Written by Argento and Franco Farini.
Mm. The worst Fellini.
This always feels...
Farini.
The worst Farini.
The worst Ferengi. This always... Italian horror is something I feel like I'm in trouble when I say to horror lovers... That I don't enjoy.
I don't feel like I'm in trouble. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro.
Like I did something wrong.
How'd you not enjoy Phenomena?
That's silly.
Because I thought it was stupid.
Why is everybody so awkward? Why is the story so awkward? Why is everybody so fucking awkward?
I wanted to turn it off 20 minutes in. I don't even know if 20 minutes in. The moment, I can tell you the moment that I wanted to turn it off. And it was when the ladybugs are talking to each other. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, this is really stupid. This is just so stupid. Mm. And I'm going to say something. And I said it to Amy when I got here and you guys were recording. And I told her I was going to say it again on the show. So yeah. I'm covered.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of people want to say that they feel like Argento is like the fucking God's gift to visual filmmaking because he... throws color filters and tracking shots into everything and you're like, it's beautiful.
No, not for you.
No, well, I love beautiful cinematography.
I'm left cold.
Like to be fair though, how many Argento films have you seen?
I don't even know.
Yeah, because I think this might have been the first one you've seen.
Maybe. It might be. But yeah. I know I've certainly seen bits and pieces.
Well, just so you know, this is considered to be one of his worst by a lot of people.
Well, it is bad.
So it's a bad one to like. Yeah. And that's why when Andy suggested it, I like it because it has a chimp in it.
Yeah.
And I was on board because I love a chimp. I love Donald Pleasance. I love Jennifer Connelly.
Who doesn't love Jennifer Connelly?
And I'm not trying to scream at Argento. I'm using him as an example because that's who everyone holds up as their shining star.
Yeah.
But I have seen other Italian horror movies. I don't like them either. Slice doesn't count because it's not...
It's a pizza movie. That doesn't mean it's an Italian movie.
What about Night of the Demons?
Oh, is that an Italian movie?
No, you mean Demons.
Demons, sorry.
Yeah. Have you seen Demons where they're in the movie theater? The Fulci movie?
No.
There are fun moments in that movie, but again, it's just like this weird awkwardness in the way everybody interacts with each other.
Well, let's get into Phenomena. Okay, it's a weird movie.
It is weird.
It is. I think Argento considers this his favorite of his stuff, and depending on who you talk to, some people... Like Kelly was saying, a lot of people don't like this movie. Some people say this or his Dracula, which was more recent, or one of his, you know, some people consider them his worst work. But I think it's an interesting story. It takes place in Switzerland, in the Alps, in this like resort town.
Switzerland.
There's a boarding school there where this
American girl.
Actor sends his daughter there, played by Jennifer Connelly.
Paul Corvino.
Name. Everybody knows who Paul Corvino is.
Oh, you slept with him?
And immediately, I thought she said Paul Sorvino. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this girl really likes Paul Sorvino.
So Jennifer Connelly shows up to this boarding school with all these posters of Paul Corvino.
Pre-Labyrinth.
Why would you put posters of your dad on your wall?
Didn't she say he made her take those?
Well, no, she said he made her watch his movies.
All his movies, yeah. Right.
But they're just pictures of her dad.
Yeah.
And I mean, other little girl, Sophie, in the room with her is like, I'd bang him.
She's beating off nonstop to these posters of her friend's dad. Yeah.
She did apologize, though, once she realized that was her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jennifer's character, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Corvino. She tells this kind of sad story about her dad and her mom breaking up, and that her mom just kind of took off and abandoned them, which turns out is this true story from Dario Argento's life.
Dario?
Super Dario Brothers. And here's the twist. This town that she has come to has a serial killer chopping off young ladies' heads.
Just out of the blue.
Rita.
He hates heads attached to bodies.
Yeah.
Now this, she's got a strict headmistress played by
Darian mistress.
Frown Bruckner. It's Daria Nicolodi.
Every time such I say her name, horses Winnie.
Now Nicolodi also co-wrote Suspiria.
Mm.
So they have she's a hardcore Italian.
She's a hardcore Italian.
She's a hardcore Italian.
Like, Jennifer's not there because she's in trouble.
Right.
She's not like a wayward girl.
Well, this is, again, this is one of the things I didn't get.
Like an asshole to her.
I was like, why was she sent to Spankington Academy for girls?
Because her dad's in the Philippines.
Because her dad's just like, she shouldn't be really like, having to follow any of this.
It's because the Ministry of Magic.
Well, she says something like, I'm closer here to my dad than I would be at home, but like LA to the Philippines versus Zurich to the Philippines. I need somebody. I'm going to do that flight math. You guys.
Well, it just seems like she's been enrolled in spanking classes and
because she's in trouble.
But right. Yeah, but she's not.
No.
Okay.
So I always feel like these movies. Yeah. Sorry, not to interrupt.
No.
I always feel like the story is like I feel like the whole story went in the process of making these, they come up with an idea and then like none of the details matter at all.
They don't. That's what
they're like, all right, we're gonna take some girls. They're girls being murdered in a school, right? Yeah. Right, school. Yeah, we get one of those like mean headmistresses, like Mary Warnoff type, but Italian. And then we're gonna have them, and then she's gonna have a French friend, and her dad's, I don't know what he's an actor or something, right? And then she could talk to bugs. That's the thing I want. This lady can talk to bugs. I feel like that's what it was.
It's a theme, though, in these films is like Stranger in a Strange Land, taking somebody out of like what's familiar and then putting them into something that's totally unfamiliar.
No, I totally get that.
And then they play with that even more to make it totally unreasonably unfamiliar.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like I enjoy off-kilter stuff, but like I feel like there's a way where it just really does literally feel like to me the story just wasn't important. Like
exactly.
The details of the story weren't important enough to the filmmakers.
They're delivered in a kind of as over the top as so much of the movie is. Some of the stuff, the structure of the movie is delivered in such a subtle way you might miss a lot of it. Like Frau Bruckner is mean because she was a victim of rape, and she had a baby.
Its head popped off.
But do they really say any of this?
They insinuate it.
Very
it's in the dialogue, and like
shut up.
And she's
no, I got that. I got that.
You got that part. She's a little messed up from that.
Sure.
And you find out in the spoiler alert in the climax of the movie that there's even more reason that she's probably a little messed up. And then we didn't mention the Professor McGregor character that Jennifer meets, who is wheelchair bound. Donald Pleasance, who is an entomologist.
I wish we could have gotten him for Dr. Xavier.
For Dr. Xavier?
In X-Men.
Oh, Professor X. I got you.
Professor X.
Dr. Xavier. When you say Dr. Xavier, that throws me coming.
It's just funny.
Dr. Xavier.
Close enough.
He's sort of playing a Scottish person.
Yeah.
And he's got a helper chimp.
Yeah, he does have a helper chimp. He is advanced. Like, he's the cop that's talking to him at the beginning. I do appreciate the cop's like, the police don't use bugs for forensics. And he's like, oh, but I'll come
here. Yeah.
And he explains that.
Out of here.
He's like, he's like a Gil Grissom.
Yeah.
From CSI. That's why it is a 4-hour difference. It is longer from LAX to Manila, but still.
Hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amy got the math done for us.
Thank you. Thanks. I had to. It's cheaper, though, to fly from LAX to Manila than Zurich to Manila in March of 2019. That's what I chose.
So fate has brought... Fate.
Someone's fate was changed.
Has brought Jennifer and Professor McGregor together because not only is he a bug expert, but like you said, she can talk to bugs.
She can talk to bugs.
She's like Aquaman, but with bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the bugs will—they lead her to important clues that will unveil who the killer is, who's been killing all these people.
Lots of leaps of logic.
I have listen again. There are plenty of leaps of logic you can take. The way this is all telegraphed is so silly to me that I can't take it seriously. I'm not saying that this premise is bad. I'm saying the way that it was presented to me was bad.
Yeah.
It was it was badly executed to me. I'm not saying that this is impossible for this premise to work for me.
Yeah.
But it was real silly looking.
Yeah.
It was super silly.
Now when Morris shows up and the mom cuts his head off, didn't that give you a little bit of joy?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm. No.
Morris, Jennifer's the poor little rich girl. Of course, she's closer to her chauffeur than she is to her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he shows up.
This is pre-Labyrinth J-Cons.
Yep. Yeah. And the mom, in very Friday the 13th style, comes out of nowhere because Jennifer Connelly has killed her mutated son.
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to kill her.
He was behind all the killings. This little person,
with
a cleft palate, and he had a syndrome called. It's like I forgot what it was called. It's a real syndrome, and the people who have it actually do look like what the character.
Do they kill people?
I think probably not. Is what I'm going to guess. I'm going to think that maybe there was some artistic liberty taken.
Ah.
And I don't know how many of them have spears, stainless steel spears that they assemble and disassemble between kills.
I feel like Dario Argento is trying... Like, here's where I am okay with it. It's because the dude is an artist. Like, there's mm-hmm. no... You can't... If you see his films... There are certain things that you're going to go, oh, this is an Argento, or this is a tribute to Argento, like the colors. There's always, even if it's not really dealing with demons, there's always like the camera is in weird perspectives that don't make any sense. Like someone is always watching, even though
someone's always sent through a window, usually a woman sent through a window.
Mm-hmm. Usually, there's something to do with innocence, which I think makes people uncomfortable and where he might be going with, like the tainting of innocence. Like, there are certain things, but I also feel like he is trying to have fun
mm-hmm.
with his film. So he's got a style, he's got an art, he's got a zany premise about, bug telepathy.
He brings Motorhead and Iron Maiden in for the soundtrack.
I Facebooked Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
The minute Iron Maiden came on.
Yeah. You Facebooked to them, you were like, hey, guess what? Did you guys know?
Yeah.
I was real excited. As soon as it started, I was like, I think that's Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Flash of the knife.
Yeah, and then the song started, and I was like, no, look at you. It's Iron Maiden.
Mike right there. Is 100. I mean, yes, all of these things are true.
Yeah.
And I feel that way probably about Rob Zombie when he's making a
for
movie.
Sure.
I just can't. I get no story. I can't you follow. You can't
get no satisfaction?
I can't dig into your world because your world doesn't make any fucking sense. Right.
No, what's funny is I can get down with Rob Zombie. I get the problems, but there are things there that I personally...
Fella, I would be super polite to him.
I can hold on to stuff in Rob Zombie movies. I think it's just a personal thing.
Absolutely.
I don't think that I can assign these gripes to every director. I think it's just this movie and most of the Italian movies I've watched just don't speak to me.
Yeah, even The Postman. I mean, Il Postino, not the...
I haven't seen that.
It's make you weep.
Well, but you weep. But I do enjoy Rob Zombie. So I mean, you can if you want to apply those same criteria
for sure.
Because agreed, House of a Thousand Corpses ends up goofy all over the place, and it's not a great movie, but I do enjoy it.
When that movie goes goofy is when I think that movie gets great. Yeah. So I just think that there's something to be like said about he's got a very stylized vision, sure. And you're either going to be in with it or you're going to be out with it. But I do think where he distances you from his work sometimes with the art form of it, but I also do think he's trying to have fun.
Yeah,
like the gore is supposed to be fun. Like Jennifer Connelly in that filth pit is crazy.
I wanted to say that was the other. I was trying to hold on to some positive things to say. The gore effects are great.
Yeah,
the maggots were great. The flies are great. The head, all the dead effects are great. A+.
What about the chimp acting?
Now, I love the chimp.
The chimp did really well. I think it might have been a little person in a chimp suit.
No, it was really a chimp.
Was it really a chimp? Because a lot of times they use little people in very...
Yeah. No, the killer was a little person.
Yeah.
It made me really sad when the chimp was trying to break into the house to save his you know...
Dr. Loomis.
Family.
Yeah, that was sweet. And there's a lot of sweet moments with the chimp, and then there's one horrifying thing that happened when they were making this movie, the final scene where the chimp comes and rescues her.
Yeah.
Argento was getting too much chimp asshole on camera, and so he
is that why? Well, she had a diaper on most of the time.
No, that was her asshole, like inflamed butt. That was like
how their butts work.
Yeah,
that was she wasn't wearing a diaper.
No, it was her butt.
That
was
usually just her butt. When you see a chimp in a movie like that, they do have a diaper on because of that inflamed butt. But you do get some major inflamed butt shots.
So Argento's like, there's too much chimp asshole here. So he gets. When she's hugging the chimp at the end, he's like, Jennifer, help the chimp look at the camera. And she tries to turn the chimp's head to the camera a little bit and bit her finger off.
It bit Jennifer Connelly's finger off?
Yeah.
Missing a finger?
No, they reattached it.
Oh. Does it work okay?
We can ask her.
There's a ring on that finger.
Yeah.
We're pretty sure that's where it split.
There are moments where her sleeves are covering her hands for long portions of time.
Oh, really?
And I wonder if
they shot post. It. I don't know. Yeah, if it was shot out of sequence or not.
Might be me.
I swear that thing was wearing a diaper when it was walking through the woods.
That's its ass.
See, this will change the whole movie for you now, Kelly.
You're going to have to go back and rewatch it. Sorry, Kelly.
It was homeless for a little while and had to eat all the trash.
Inflamed chimp ass.
Yeah.
It looks like a white diaper?
No. That's not what that looked like at all.
Maybe you saw the edited version.
It was a butt. Yeah.
It looked like white diaper.
Do you need new glasses?
Did you get a TV cut? It was very red.
You got a TV cut when they put a diaper on the chimp.
It was pinkish. It was very
It depends
red.
On how horny she was in the scene.
God, all right.
So all right. Well, anyway, I believe you.
I don't want to try to convert you into an Argento fan.
Yeah.
But I do want to watch more Argento movies with you.
All right.
And get your take on them.
I'll watch at least another one.
I did watch this movie in two pieces because I fell asleep the night before, so I had to come back to it. But when she goes, she follows the special fly to the house in the woods.
The shoe fly.
Yeah.
The Spanish fly?
Yes.
A Spanish fly in Switzerland?
Yeah. And then the guy, the state agent guy, like, what the fuck are you doing? Get the fuck out of here. And he tries to rape her and stuff. And then she runs away. But he's there. And then some guy drives up in a leather jacket and talks to him. Who is that guy? Who was the leather jacket guy?
Danny Boyle.
That's the guy driving the nice sports car behind the bus.
But wasn't he just a cop?
He didn't say that. I never saw him again.
I always just thought he was somebody investigating the murders.
I think
he was
dangerous, though.
Did he say that?
I think that's a red herring. You're supposed to think that guy is a killer, but I think you can't reveal who he is.
You don't even know!
I don't know.
The thing is, you can't blatantly reveal who that guy is, and then he doesn't work as a red herring as the killer. I mean, you could, I guess.
There was no context at all for it.
Well, that's where this movie has some aspects of a giallo in it. In the giallo, all you see is the killer from his perspective or her perspective, and then you get little plants in the backgrounds of scenes where you're like, oh, maybe that's the person or this is the person. That's just part of the style.
Now, I understand the concept of a red herring. I'm saying there was literally no context for this duty.
Right. Well, no, what I'm saying, like in Giallo, they don't give you the extra. Like, you watch Scream, and you get a whole backstory for everyone who could be the killer. In Giallo, they sometimes will put people on screen who you don't get a backstory for, but they might be the killer. Does that make sense?
I guess.
It's a stupid style thing.
It's me. I understand that I'm requiring different things out of my entertainment.
We all watch this in parts, and I think that there may be, because I do think that sports car shows up, you get some like stylized shots on it, and then when she's in the bus and has the scene where she yells at the old lady who wants her just to close the window, and she's got to be a total butt face to her.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love whenever she is in like a pissing match with an adult in this movie.
Yeah, and she just starts speaking.
She starts speaking Italian. It's like,
and they don't, but there's Jennifer no Connelly subtitles.
And then there's no subtitles. And yeah.
No
and,
idea.
And then they're, whatever she says is enough. And they're like, well, all right then. Okay. Fine. You're in charge. You're 15, I guess.
You
now.
Get it. You get it. but I think that sports car was also there at the beginning in the first death at that house.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't.
It was a little red herring they threw out.
Probably a lot of my problems are related just simply to me and my needs.
No,
and that's fine.
You don't have to like it.
No,
it's not for everybody. You it can really explain isn't.
It not like it.
I know.
Look at these two vaping.
I feel like Jennifer Connelly really got kind of tortured in this film. She has to just do like some really nasty. To mention that she literally got her finger bitten off by a chimp. Yeah,
the gross pit full of dead body parts. Pit
full, and you see the maggots in her mouth. She's and
like got to like cuddle with flies and shit. Yeah. Maggots. How old was she when
15?
15.
Oh my word! Yeah. Like that, she went through some stuff in this film. Like she really did. Like,
and then like a year later, she had to like roll around with goblins.
Yeah.
Like 10 years later, she had the double-sided.
She's just living a dream.
Mm-hmm. She's living the dream. So props to, what do you call her? Jake?
J-Cons.
J-Con.
Yeah.
Not Joy-Cons. Those are on your Switch.
Yeah.
She's a J-Con.
Not Neo-Cons. J-Cons.
She's beautiful.
Neonomicon.
She's beautiful.
She is.
She is beautiful.
Jeez, yeah. I feel like another subtext of this was Dario Argento's obsession with Jennifer Connelly and her beautiful youngness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm not saying I'm just saying I feel like
her beautiful youngness.
Yeah.
Freddie and I had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah, we were talking about this similar thing. Like, was this ever coming from a place of like fetishizing teenage girls, or was it more just the classic, this is a beautiful young woman?
Watch your innocence get ruined.
I'm just going to present a beautiful person, and that's, I'm just pointing the camera at them. I'm not trying to do anything gross. Mm-hmm. But I never know. Like, now I'm suspect of everyone in this day and age, like going back and looking at stuff. Everything seems suspicious. Everyone's a suspect.
She just has to do some crazy stuff in this film. But I would like to know how she does all of the bug talk, because she's a good bug talker.
How do they keep the bugs on her?
How do they keep? But I did make the mistake. It's probably
some kind of syrup.
It is. It's like they use like glucose, like water, sweet water.
Okay,
it's easier to catch flies with glucose water than it is with
vinegar water.
Vinegar water.
They did a great job with making those bugs feel like they really had a connection with her.
And then the scene with the killer, that guy was drenched in that. What they did was they had maggots that they bred. And then they use some sort of heat lamp or something to time the hatching just right. And so that scene when he's on the boat at the end and there's the big climactic fight scene with the little person, he's covered in this like the sucralose stuff, and they timed the hatching of all these maggots so that he would be swarmed. Those were like newborn flies.
Oh.
And they swarmed him. And then apparently like the whole neighborhood around there like was infested with flies for like a few weeks after that because of that scene.
Rude.
Well, and when she's getting bullied, she brings like millions of flies over. So they should be happy it was only a couple weeks.
Yeah.
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 She brought
throw flies. Her into she a flesh pit of maggots.
I suggested to Mike they should make a third Ant-Man movie and Jennifer Connelly can turn up.
Yeah. Well, you've got Dr. Xavier.
Yeah.
You've got Jennifer Connelly as Bug Woman.
Yeah. Bug Woman.
That could be her name. It's a tie-in. It's easy.
Yeah.
I love when MCU. You say Dr. Xavier, and it did not register with me at all.
That Dr. Charles Xavier.
Yeah.
So what was with the crazy lady's basement? Was that like, did she recreate the hospital, like an asylum down there?
Well, you find out that this hospital is built like the rings of hell, right? Like all the way down to the bottom pit. So it could be a recreation, I guess. Or
is she connected to the...
That's a good question.
I didn't understand that.
That was a little dreamy. The whole fact that, yeah, she had shackles and...
rooms down there.
But the thing is shackled in that holiday house, vacation house, whatever that house is at the beginning of the movie, and breaks out of it. I don't know. Good question, Amy.
Doesn't make any sense. You're all just all obsessed with maggots.
Not me.
And what's going on?
How would you feel if you could let go of that need? You're way off mic.
I don't know.
If you let go of that and you're like, all I need to do is be part of this dream, man.
I can be parts of dreams.
Yeah, I can be parts of dreams too. This just didn't work.
Was everyone sober when they watched this?
I can't remember. I definitely had imbibed some substances earlier in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know about by that point how I was feeling.
Because I was thinking when I was watching, I was like, this feels like maybe I can't tell if this would pair well with an impaired mind.
Yeah.
A little bit hallucinogenic.
So you don't feel like, you know, making the logical connections.
I feel like I explain this badly every time we talk about a surreal movie that I don't like. It's not that I don't like surreal movies, but I like to feel like the person who wrote it cares about every aspect of it. And sometimes, this is my problem, sometimes with Clive Barker, sometimes I feel like there are just details where they put something in that they want you to see. Like, they're like, we're going to have them talk to the cops, but we're not going to worry about what talking to the cops is actually like. It's just going to be this kind of like... Just to show you that they're talking to the cops. And I don't like that. I want my suspension of disbelief to be maintained.
So let me ask you, like, is it, you don't like when somebody writes an unrealistic scene of the actual dialogue of interacting with the cops? Like,
yes.
So would it suffice it to be like if they shot one of those, like a wide angle shot of somebody talking to the cops, you don't even hear what they're talking about? You're like, well, at least they went to the cops and I can move on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I'm with you on that.
That would make a huge difference.
Yeah. Do you feel like it exacerbates the problem a little bit by the fact that he does spend long periods of time setting up emotional as opposed to story? Like Jennifer Connelly walks through a field for what seems like forever, and maybe they could have given you some more story narrative. Or she's on the bus.
That's what I would have wanted.
And it goes for a long period of time.
I don't mind long, like, I really do love long, lingering, beautiful shots in a movie where I feel like those aren't wasted on other dump. Like, if there wasn't other goofy shit to take me out of it, I would be totally into those, like, just meant to elicit a feeling out of you.
Sure.
But then they'll do something like that, and then something else for me will just fall by the wayside. And I'm like, what? Why? That's my, I can't really describe it any better than going, what? Why?
Why?
So I think those kinds of scenes can absolutely work.
Yeah.
But in this, it just didn't.
I got you.
Because other shit just kept taking me out of it.
Yeah.
Well.
So there you go.
Let's see here. I think, am I the only person that actually likes Phenomena?
I liked it.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
All right. So we're split 50-50.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to like it.
Yeah. Did you want to lick it?
And I did. Listen, I do like the visual style. Again, I will give absolute credit. I love the tracking shots. I love, again, the gore effects. All that stuff I like.
What about the chimp stand-in during the car chase scene?
I love everything that happens with the chimp. Even when it's not wearing a diaper and that's just a weird thing with its butt. Like Donald Pleasance. I even liked his conversation. Like, I'm not saying that everything in this movie is a bust.
Yeah.
But when I, like, the things that bothered me too much for me to enjoy the parts I liked.
Gotcha.
It's a dreamy mystery that doesn't always connect the dots.
And it's a thinker.
Well,
it's a stinking thinker.
I don't know if sometimes it is a thinker, and maybe that's where you're getting, because sometimes it's just like it's like, oh, okay, that doesn't make any sense, and but I'm still intrigued, and I still want to get to the end of this and see where we're going.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a movie like that that I really well, you know.
You're like in Twin Peaks right now, and
I'm real into Twin Peaks right now. I like how that's done.
You're not going to get everything. Some stuff's just presented for emotional story.
When you get to the second season of Twin Peaks, is a lot like Phenomena.
Yeah.
So I'm be curious to see like if you will have established enough goodwill in the first season to tolerate the meandering weirdness of the second season.
And we do find out, I remember we found out, I thought that I was iffy on David Lynch, but I've only seen a few, and the few that I saw I liked.
Yeah,
I like Lost Highway. Yeah, that's weird and wonky. I love Eraserhead. That's all kinds of weird.
Yeah, and almost like too Blue much Velvet.
Do what
have Blue you Velvet? Seen Blue Velvet?
I think is Blue Velvet one of the ones I've seen. That's Dennis Hopper,
Ear in the Field.
Yeah I like that. Yeah, Blue Velvet is one of the ones I like.
That's probably, I think, is one of his most normal movies.
It is. I think that's probably one of the things I like.
That and Elephant Man.
Oh, there's another one I've seen. I didn't even remember that was David Lynch. No, I don't like Dune. But to be fair, I also didn't like the novel.
Do you like Lorna Dunes?
God, I love Lorna Dunes.
They're tasty. I love shortbread, like a little bit of a salty cookie. Don't want
no shortbread, man.
I like Lorna Del Rey.
Lorna Dunes. What's a Lorna Dunes?
It's a shortbread.
Oh.
Cookie.
Has no idea.
They come in a sleeve.
Yeah, they're pretty good cookies.
Yeah.
Sleeve of wizard. So Phenomena. Phenomena.
Sorry if this movie bugged you.
Oh,
but I liked it.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
We'll see what happens next
week.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Yeah. I thought it was Donald Pleasant enough.
Oh.
It's not even his last name. It's Pleasance. I'll leave now.
Oh, please do. So, are we done? We're good?
Yeah.
We yapped.
Yeah, we'll be back with more
we yippity yapped.
Terrifying spaghetti cinema.
What's the next one?
We haven't decided yet. We'll do it as soon as we're done with this.
Geechee.
If you're a patron, or even if not, I think this will be released publicly, our discussion with Brandon Boone, the composer from the No Sleep podcast and producer of this show, about the new Suspiria,
which I do want to see.
It's a love or hate, I think. Yeah.
Oh boy.
You should see the movie before you listen to what we say about it. We're pretty spoilery.
Yeah, this is a spoiler heavy conversation.
Spoiler heavy.
I will.
Say spoiler a lot, but let me jump right in this point real quick.
It inspired me to make my Clumperers poster,
and I really liked it.
With a
spoiler, I liked
Swinton.
It.
Oh, Tilda Swinton.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got to
release that, Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Time to talk about our beautiful Beelzebub babies.
Mm-hmm.
Babies?
We're not going to bully you this time. That's not nice.
No, that was no. I think they loved it.
One of them will bring flies.
It's like a roast.
Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots.
We got Jeremy and Cassie.
Pasta lasagna. Don't get any on you.
We've got Deadeye.
Deadeye. What is about some gravy? You like the gravy?
Amanda!
It's got too much oregano in it, Amanda. Try again.
Dale,
your chimp's ass is too swollen. If you could turn it around so I don't have to catch so much of that on camera.
Mandy,
I'm real sorry about my encephalitic child cutting your head off.
Adam.
Couldn't be helped. Adam, here's the thing. This is a boarding school, and I have your best interests at heart, and stop trying to contact your dad's driver.
Brooke.
I'll take you away. Brooke, he was messed up, but he was my baby. And now I'm going to avenge him.
Ernie.
You're covered in flies.
Albert,
you're covered in sucralose, and as soon as this larvae hatches, you're going to be covered in flies as well.
Tree and Alex,
I have flies enough for everyone. Jump in. And I have a vat full of dead body parts in our basement.
Brandon Boone.
And it's saucy. Brandon, you come over, you make some more stew with me. I'm making dead people stew with maggots and chocolate sauce.
Chocolate sauce?
Mm.
That doesn't sound very Italian.
Well,
is it like an Italian chocolate sauce?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bill?
Bill, you will be getting my bill for the extermination service.
Hey, Bill.
Because there's so many bugs.
Blake?
Blake, I just wanted to let you know that meant the world to me when you brought my chimp home in one piece. I know he was homeless and I was stabbed in the belly and everybody thought I was dead, but I was actually okay.
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark. How about that? How about that?
Uh-oh, he's running out of steam. Oh, no.
Come on.
Dude, you got one more. Come on. You get
to talk to ladybugs. I know you can.
Oh, and Elise Combrink.
Elise? What can Elise do? She can talk to roaches, right?
Mm-mm.
She can Beatles. Follow. She follows lightning bugs around. You live with her. You
is she a fan of the Beatles?
Does she have a lightning bug situation?
I can't. I don't want to get into our, you know, what goes on in our bedroom or what doesn't go on in our bedroom.
Dear.
But I think you should know that I would not tolerate anything bug related anywhere.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't like that.
But yeah. She does make us buy the meatball.
Oh, what if she was like Joe from Joe's Apartment?
That'd be even worse.
What if she secretly has a best friend that's a potato moth?
Wouldn't you love her even? I mean, you love her so much that you could get over it, right? If like a light fixture,
I'd get past spilled it, over, but I would hate it.
And you were covered in roaches.
I would get over it for her, but I would hate it. And, I'd be like, we have to talk about this.
Because my needs aren't being met.
Yeah.
This is
my need to not be covered in bugs.
You know, I love you, but roaches are as close to a deal breaker. and I mean, millions of roaches are as close to a deal breaker as I get. And
does she get a few roaches? She allowed to have a few roaches?
I mean, that would be something I could overlook more easily than a Joe's Apartment situation.
What about a tarantula?
Do you remember when his light fixture
dumped
open? And
yeah. Oh, I remember.
There's a lot of roaches.
It happened all the time.
Yeah. Because they were cool.
What if her papa was a roach?
Well, he wasn't a Rolling Stone.
I think that would be Kelly's last resort.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, I see what you did there. For a second, I had no idea what was happening.
That's all right.
Dr. Xavier.
I didn't even say Xavier. I just said Dr. Xavier.
Xavier. All right.
Leviosum.
All my little buggy babies.
Well.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Burden garbins.
Kelly gets uncomfortable when you say the word roaches.
I don't like them.
I do.
Just the word.
I do. I hate it.
It's a word I don't like.
He's like grabbing hold of the table.
It's a
right
bug
now.
I don't like. Yeah. I have been getting better with spiders.
You like have spider friends?
So you don't
now?
Like spiders and snakes?
I love snakes.
Oh, okay. Ugh.
Anything with more than four legs traditionally has been a problem for me. It's a real phobia. Okay. Like, it's a real legit phobia. I've actually thought about going to get hypnosis for it.
Yeah.
But lately, I have been trying to see spiders in a different light because they eat bugs.
Yeah.
It's the being touched by them. I'm not afraid of them. I need everyone to understand. I'm not, when I say I'm afraid of a butterfly, I'm not really afraid of a butterfly. It's not a rational fear. It's not a rational fear.
You know
fear.
That.
Yes.
You know it's not going to hurt.
I know.
You.
I'm not worried about them hurting me other than like wasps, but like, I don't like when they touch me. I have this like horrible revulsion about bugs touching me.
So. Like their emotional stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like you,
if I listen to it, I just feel like I'm like I can't help you with this. I'm not a bug, and you're not a person.
Have you ever watched a bug?
Have you watched A Bug's Life?
I love A Bug's Life. I watch bug videos. I'm fascinated by them.
Like in this movie when she pet the bee.
None of that bothered me.
That bothered me
because it's not real. But like,
she like somebody pet a bee.
No, that was real.
No, but I mean, it's not really
you
happened.
You mean you like, weren't there?
It's been physically. It hasn't happened since 1985 on that shoot.
So would you be open to like a little exposure therapy?
No. No.
Eventually, no, you probably would be though, right?
Only if the other stuff worked.
But if you had exposure therapy from someone you trusted,
no.
I wasn't going to let you get hurt.
Oh, no, 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 no,
Mike
no, no, no,
has
no.
a terrarium in his car.
I can't.
He's
no,
got
that,
several tarantulas.
That is something I'm not open to at this time.
But I can see that. I can see your body. Sure. Your body shifting right now.
Were you there?
I gotcha. We're okay.
Were you at the Whorehound where we were sharing space with the spiders and snakes people?
No, snakes are fine. I need to reiterate that as well.
Freddie bullied me into
Amy held
a tarantula.
I would never
do it again.
Matt Hoffman, he let it crawl on his face.
I've seen the video.
Which apparently is a bad idea. Somebody told me there was something about.
Well, they've got those pointy hairs,
and you can get spider pink eye.
Is that what it is?
Farts in your eye.
It'll fart in your eye. But when she went to pull it off the palm of my hand, I felt it grip my hand. Yeah. That made me a little uneasy.
Yeah.
Because I don't like being gripped by something.
I always thought stingrays were beautiful creatures until we were feeding the stingrays. And that's some of their little mouths kind of they grabbed me a little hard. Yeah. I'm not so sure I'm super comfortable with stingrays anymore.
Oh, really?
See that? Yes.
I think they're adorable.
Snakes I'm okay with. Any like kind
slimy
of
things.
Any kind of reptile, frogs, anything
no.
other than bugs.
I am terrified and of even frogs.
If ladybugs don't bother me. I mean, I guess if they enveloped me.
You ever seen a roach snake? It's like a snake and it has a bunch of legs.
You're traumatizing.
No, that just sounds like a millipede.
That sounds awful, doesn't it?
It sounds exactly like what a millipede is.
Sorry, it's
like
guys. A roach snake. We're fumigating for roach snakes.
But snakes are fine.
Okay.
No, they're not.
If you ever want a little help with that, you let me know.
I will.
Our,
I'm definitely looking for some possible hypnosis help.
Our friend Will told an interesting story on Facebook this week. Will is he runs a I think like a pet shop kind of thing, but anyways, he deals with reptiles a lot, and he had a rattlesnake in his car that he was transporting, and his neighbor asked him for a ride somewhere. And he was like, he couldn't turn him down. So he tells the story great in his post, but he was talking about driving this person to, he thought they wanted to go to like a store on the corner. We're like, no, not that one. It's this one that's much further away. And the whole time he's debating on whether to tell him there's a rattlesnake in the car with him.
Never tell me that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
My sister loved reptiles and snakes and all those things. And she had a boa constrictor and it got out. And it decided to climb into the bottom of my waterbed. I had a waterbed in high school. And so like I was dead asleep and was like, you know, trying to get the covers over my feet. And it was a boa like, constrictor.
Who Jesus put a bike Christ. Tire in bed with
not,
me?
Still.
Did you scream?
Still
did you make your turkey scream?
Setting to me a little bit.
Did it try to constrict you?
No, it was like because of the heat of the waterbed, like that was
it liked
the heat. And then with my feet there, like it was just kind of digging that area down at the bottom. But I kept touching with my feet, so it took me a little while to realize
that it was a reptile. You were
that
touching
it was a reptile,
feet?
And I was really, really pissed off.
I wouldn't
want to be
again.
Surprised. I mean, I'll hold a boa constrictor and everything, but like I don't want to be surprised by a snake. I
want to be in control, in a controlled environment. Know that it's a safe thing that I'm holding or being around
with an expert.
Yeah.
Like, I've had to get snakes out of people's houses a couple of times in my life.
The herpetologist around.
Which is, it's never fun when you don't know what species you're dealing with.
Do you remember when your dad killed that snake on our porch and just left it there?
Yeah.
Thanks, Fred.
I felt bad about that.
I don't mind picking up snakes.
At bars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you get them home.
Listen, I don't judge. You know what I mean?
You ever take a snake
you're
home?
You're a woman, you're a snake.
And you woke
just turn
up.
Back into a cane once you pick them up, right?
Exactly.
Right. Has this ever happened to you, Kelly? You take the snake home and then you wake up the next morning and it was really a stack of spiders?
That's the worst.
Stack?
A stack.
And then I don't know how to get them out shape. Of I don't know how to get them out of my apartment.
Yeah, and they're like, they're making you eggs.
Just making webs.
Like,
they're laying eggs.
They're laying eggs, but they're also making you like a nice omelet.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be rude.
It's uncomfortable.
And they have a stack of spiders has a little apron on. Says kiss the cook.
I jokingly say, oh, I thought you were a snake last night.
And
trying
like,
to hint to them that I really don't want them there. But I
get that a lot.
Mm.
Great. Well, thank you so much for listening. Tell us about the bugs and creepy crawlies you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Join us in our fears.
Yeah.
Rational or otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Okay. All right. All right. Bye.
Bye. Love.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to